Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, let's just enjoy the presence of the Lord right now. Oh, we love you, Lord. We bless you, Lord.
Amen. All honor, all power, all glory belongs to you, Lord. So grateful, so wonderful, so privileged to know that I have access to the one that knows all, that I have access to the one that conquers all. I have access to the creator of all things. And most importantly, he's my father and he loves me.
Mm-hmm.
All honor, all glory, all power belongs to you, Lord. Well, we thank you for being here tonight, Father God. We thank you for this moment. We thank you again for another opportunity to be in your presence, Heavenly Father, to just sit with you and you commune with us, Father God, to be able to just experience you, experience your wisdom, experience your love, experience your thoughts. And so, Father God, we submit ourselves to your will being done. We turn it all over to you, Lord, allowing you to have access to the things in this earth through our obedience,
mm-hmm.
The work that you have assigned to our hands, Father God, we will do. We come against confusion in the name of Jesus, where we go back and forth in our heads about, Lord, what's next for me? Lord, what is it that I need to be doing? What is it that I want to do? Or we come against any type of confusion, any type of barriers, any type of barrier that's trying to block the plan of God being fulfilled through your life. In Jesus' name, we thank you that those ideas are being birthed and that we're moving beyond our fears. We're getting out of our comfort zones and really stepping out on the water to come to you. You've already told us that it's possible. You've given us examples of it being so. You didn't have to do that, but we thank you for allowing us to know what the possibilities are and then still being able to exceed even as far as our thoughts could reach. You still exceeded. And we just thank you. We thank you for the abundant life. We thank you for the abundance that runneth over in our health. We thank you for the abundance that runneth over in the nurturing of relationships with substance, whether it be personal or business. We thank you. We thank you that we overcome our fears. We thank you that we overcome everything that we think, our arrogance, yes. If we overcome our arrogance, really thinking that we have to think about things that you tell us to do. Like we have to run it through our mental government to just be obedient. Lord, we just thank you that obedience overflows in our lives in Jesus' name. That we stand firm on what your word says. We stand firm on what your prophecies have said. We stand firm in our faith,
mm-hmm.
in you. We don't desire to waver in Jesus' name, in our faith. We understand our human abilities, and we want to get beyond our human abilities to really trust you and to witness the supernatural, to witness the favor, to witness your hand that will stun stun those that don't believe. And even shock those that even say they believe. Because we all believe on different levels. Some of us, we just believe what we want to believe.
Mm-hmm.
But Lord, we strive tonight to believe the whole truth. And nothing but the truth. We strive to stand on the whole word and not some of it. We stand on knowing that through your Holy Spirit, we'll be able to rightfully divide this word of truth and that you reveal to us what needs to be revealed. That through it all, we are reminded that you are still God, that you are still in charge, that you have authority, full reign over all of the world and beyond. Come on, somebody. Well, Lord, we just thank you for understanding how great you are, how big you are, and knowing that if we would just focus on what it is that you desire, the better we will be.
Mm-hmm.
So Lord, we thank you for delivering us from ourselves. Because a lot of times we do think we know what's best for us. So we think we know. But Lord, we just thank you for being the God of the living. We thank you for being a God we can trust, rely on, and depend on. Thank you for being the God that cannot lie. And so Lord, we stand on it tonight. We stand on the firm foundation of your word. And we put up our faith walls. We put up our faith frames and we begin to build on top of your word with our faith into something amazing, into something far beyond what we can ever imagine, so that you can get glory out of our lives. Thank you for Prophetic Grace Network, Father God. Thank you for the unity that's involved here. Thank you for the word that's going forth, the revelation that's being revealed, the knowledge that's being shared, the wisdom that's being poured. We thank you. We thank you for all of the ears that are open to hear from you, that they know that this is not a joke,
mm-hmm.
that they know that through this network, they are being empowered, that they are being delivered, that they are being transformed into who you have called them to be. So, Lord, we thank you for the anointing and the blessing that you have on this network, Father God. We thank you for our spiritual mother and father, Randy and Julie. Thank you for continuing to bless them bountifully, beyond measure, in every area of their lives. We plead the blood of Jesus over everything that involves them in Jesus' name, that is protected and covered, and that you are the overseer and we are good stewards in Jesus' name. So Lord, we decrease as you increase. We decrease as you increase. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Welcome to the show. I'm one half of your host, Terrence.
I'm the other half of your host, Tanisha. And today is, what is today? Today is December 7th, 2022 at 7:16 p.m. Central Standard Time. We're excited to be here. This year is winding down, right? We're going to be in 2023 in what, 3.5 weeks. And I'm believing God for some miracles. I'm believing God for some revelation. as this year wraps up. And I'm looking forward to seeing what next year is going to bring, what the what is the Lord saying, what is the Spirit of God saying that we need to be mindful of for next year. Because I know this year he gave us the word that it was about divine vindication, accelerated harvest. We also talked earlier in the year about being mindful of the things that we speak, because this was going to be a year that was, we was laying a lot of seed with our words. And we still need to be mindful about the things that we're speaking, because I know that a lot of people have been having a rough year. You know, even Randy's been talking about on the show about the pressure. And a lot of us have been experiencing a lot of pressure in different areas and different ways, but pressure nonetheless. But the pressure is not a bad thing. It's stretching us. It's growing us. It's giving us more revelation of who God is and who we are. And it's preparing us for our next. So sometimes when you're under pressure, you tend to speak negatively about the situation, to say what you're lacking or how you're feeling and that kind of thing. Or making blanket statements like, oh, it just feels like nothing's ever going to change, or whatever the case may be. And we have to just be mindful about what we're speaking. You know, even when you don't like how things feel at the present moment, you can always, you know, express, you know, God is bringing me through this. God is using this to make me stronger. God is using this to show me who he is in a new way that I would not have experienced had I not gone through this. So we still need to be mindful of what we're speaking this year and moving forward, right? I don't know if you guys have been keeping up with what's been going on in the world, but I know I ran across an article the other day that was talking about the Tigris and Euphrates rivers levels being lower, unusually low. And that's something that's in the book of Revelation about the Euphrates River drying up in the book of Revelation. We need to be like keeping our ear to the street on what's going on prophetically in our world and not be focused on all these things that the world is trying to distract us with, because there's a lot of stuff going on that lines up to the word of God that we're just totally oblivious to because the news isn't bringing it to our attention. But we have to be in tune with the Spirit of God, and we have to be finding our own way of obtaining information outside of the world, because the world has an agenda, right? The world wants us to believe certain things, think and pick up certain mindsets and patterns of behavior. But we're in this world, but we're not of it. So we need to be asking God, what is it that you want me to know during this time? What news do you want me to see? So I was really excited to see that. But the scripture that I got right before we came on air is one that we're all familiar with. It is Isaiah 53:5. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified first. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, and our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes wounds, we are healed. King James reads it, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes, we are healed. The NIV says, but the servant was pierced because we had sinned. He was crushed because we had done what was evil. He was punished to make us whole again. His wounds have healed us. And when you really think about healing, right, typically people think about healing in the physical body. But he was wounded to heal us in every area, not just in the physical, in the mental area. When you think about it, the word of God is holistically heals us in every area of our life if we understand it and if we follow its principles and its commands and its instructions. It provides total healing in our health, right? Healing in our mentality, healing in our ways, healing in the way that we process things, healing in our actions. And when it says that he's healed us with his wounds, that's in every area. So don't limit God on what he can heal you. Like if you, maybe you have night terrors, maybe you wake up in the middle of the night and have panic attacks. You know, maybe you're bad with your finances, or maybe you're impulsive. You know, maybe you have an anger problem, you get mad or you cut people off easily because you just so, you know, you just get so angry. Maybe you have social anxiety. Maybe you, you know, have bad eating habits, whatever it may be. God has been wounded. Jesus came and he was wounded to heal you in every single area. And so tonight, bring all of your brokenness. Bring all of your areas that are not healed, are not whole, right? Because for something to require healing, let's look up the word healing. Let's look that up real quick. We've got time. So we're going to look up heal. Merriam-Webster. To make free from injury or disease, to make sound or whole, okay? To make well again, to restore. To cause an undesirable condition to be overcome. Let's look at the word heal. So that's not just, you know, in your body, because it is to make free from injury or disease, right? So that could be, that's your body suffers injuries or disease. To make sound or whole, that could be, come on, sound mind. The whole mind of Christ, like that could be mental. To make well again, right? All could be well. You could say, people say, all is well in my soul. So your soul could be unwell, right? To restore. And that could be anything. Your finances might need to be restored, right? A friendship might need to be restored. Listen to this one. To cause an undesirable condition to be overcome. So you could really be in an undesirable position with that could be anything. It could be a bad relationship. It could be a job. It could be financial state. It could be a neighborhood. I mean, there's no limit to an undesirable situation, but you overcoming that is healing. So understand that the price has already been paid for your healing. It's like you starving and there's a restaurant right next door to you and you're like, oh man, I don't want to go because I don't have any money. I'm starving and I'm broke. I don't have any money. But imagine if you were starving and the restaurant next door, they said you could come get whatever you want. This guy named Jesus came in and said you can get whatever. He paid in advance. He put his card on file and already paid. And you'd be going there for breakfast, lunch, dinner, snack, dessert, midnight snack, just because. And that's what you have access to. He's already paid the price. It doesn't say he's going to be wounded for our healing. Let's read that scripture again. Let's break this on down. Let's go back to King James because it just breaks it down. This is the way that most of us have heard it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace and upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. With his stripes. The stripes have already been issued 2,000 years ago. It's already a done deal. He's already paid for your healing. You've already been healed, right? It says you've been healed. Not you will, because even Amplified breaks it down. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was crushed for our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him. And by his stripes wounds, we are healed. But it's up to you to take hold of your healing. Because he already paid for it. So when something's already paid for in your name, right? That means it already belongs to you, but you still have to take possession of it. Mm-hmm. If I was to go to a car dealership and buy a car and say, this is for this person, and they got the title, everything in your name, right? So it's already yours legally. You legally own it because I've already went down to the dealership. I paid for it. I've given them all of your personal information so that the car can be titled to you. The keys are there, but you still have to take possession of it, even though you own it. They might mail you a copy of the title in the mail. I could pay for the insurance document. You get a copy of the registration and everything, but you still don't utilize the car and the benefits of the car until you go and take possession of it, even though you own it. And that's how it is with our healing. We're already healed. It's already, he already did what it is and put it in our name. He did it and put it in our name, so we are the owners of it, but we just have to take possession of it. So take possession of your healing tonight. You're already healed. Didn't it say you will be healed? right? Because the Word of God talks about how the truth will make us free. So that's a process, right? This says we are healed. Are. Let's look up the word are. Because we're gonna change our minds today. Include me, this ministering to me.
Amen.
We're going to change our mind. We're going to let this mind that be in Christ Jesus be in us. We're going to quit thinking the way the world is telling us to think. Or we're going to think the way our Father who art in heaven tells us to think. And it says that let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is already a done deal. So we're about to bring this on down here into the earth so that we can take hold of it and so that we can have the benefit of it. Because he done already paid for it.
Absolutely.
Let's go to R. R. Present tense. That means present means now, right? We remember that. I mean, no, it's been a while since some of us have been in school. But present means right now. Past is something that's already happened, and future is coming up, right? Because if somebody comes to you, right, like Terrence right now is in my presence because he's right here in front of me. So if we are, that means it's in our presence. Ooh, it's in our presence. We are presently healed right now. Take a hold of that. Take possession of that. And speak that over your situation right now in Jesus' mighty name. You don't have to suffer anymore. You are healed. He's already paid for. Quit trying to pay for something that's already been paid for. Quit making excuses. Oh, well, that time I failed and, I made some stupid choices when I was young. And that's why I got a bum knee now. Or, I didn't make the best. It's already been paid for. Those bad decisions that you made, he paid the price for it. You don't have to pay the price for that. Quit charging yourself for things that have already been paid. You can overcome the situation. That's healing. Overcoming is healing. Come on, somebody. Take hold of this tonight. He already paid it and it's already done. We just have to take possession. We got to go mosey on down to the healing bank and grab and say, hey, I'm here for that. Jesus said he paid for my healing, and he titled it in my name and registered it to me. I just need the keys. Thank you. The keys is the mental. By faith, receive it. And somebody might be sitting there shrugging their shoulders. What do I need to do to receive my healing? Receive it by faith. That's it. Believe. Just believe that. And know that God is doing it the way he sees fit. Believe, I'm healed. Because that situation is going to try to come knocking at your door like, hey, I'm still here. Nah, you've been dealt with. And sometimes the situation, it might be something that you've been dealing with for a very long time. Think about the woman with the issue of blood. Come on, somebody. This is the perfect example of she just took possession of it. This lady had been going to doctors. She'd been going broke. This lady, this wasn't some new issue. She didn't like cut her foot on a can and was like, oh my gosh, I don't want gangrene to set in. Let me find you. No, this woman had been dealing with this issue of blood for a very long time. And she believed that she touched the hem of his garment. She believed it. That's it. You didn't see this woman doing nothing else but believing if I could just touch the hem. I'll be made whole. She believed that. Come on, let's find that story real quick because we only got a few people in the queue tonight. So we got a little time to let's talk, family, so we can receive this. My partner could have been looking up. So Mark 5:25. Let's go there. I'm going to read it out of the Amplified because that's my favorite because it breaks it down. So what did it say? Mark 5:25. Okay, let's go there. We're going to grab hold of this tonight and want to just thank God for it. Mark 5:25. Okay. A woman in the crowd had suffered from a hemorrhage for 12 years. Woo, that's a long time. Some of us can't even deal with things for 12 months, which is a year. She'd been dealing with this for 12 years and had endured much suffering at the hands of many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had become worse. She had heard reports about Jesus, and she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his outer robe, for she thought, if I just touch his clothing, I will get well. Immediately, her flow of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body and knew without any doubt that she was healed of her suffering. Immediately, Jesus, recognizing in himself that power had gone out from him, turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? His disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in around you from all sides, and you ask, who touched me? Still, he kept looking around to see the woman who had done it. And the woman, though she was afraid and trembling, aware of what happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Then he said to her, daughter, your faith, your personal trust and confidence in me has restored you to health. Go in peace and be permanently healed from your suffering. It was her belief. Jesus told her, how did she get her healing? Because some of you, you're asking, how do I get it? He said, your faith has restored you to health. Your faith. That's it. That's all. She just put it in her mind. She believed. She heard about him. Come on, she heard about Jesus. You heard about him too. That's why you on this broadcast now. That's why you part of this ministry, because it started with you hearing about him and then you accepted him as your Lord and Savior, right? You heard about him first. She heard about him and she believed what she heard. Come on, somebody. She believed it. Because I could tell you all sorts of stuff. I could tell you about the time that I rode a purple elephant in India, and you'd be like, okay, I heard about that, but I don't believe that. Sounds like a tall tale. So it's not enough to hear about it. That's the start. Step one, you hear about it. Step two, you believe it. Step three, you have faith for it. Jesus told her, your faith has restored you to health. Your faith. Believe what you hear. Believe the word of God. Believe that by his stripes you're healed. Just believe it. This lady had been suffering for 12 years, going to doctor after doctor. They made it worse. And then she was broke. So she did everything in the natural to do. Because they tell you to do in the natural. You sit, go to the doctor. She went to the first doctor. That didn't work. She went to the next one. We don't know how many doctors she done went to. But we know she kept going to doctors. She was believing it, right? Ain't nobody going to put their money to something that they don't believe. You want to see what a person believes in? See where they spend their money. That's a different word. But she believed these doctors was going to help her, obviously, because she's spending the money, right? She put skin in the game. And she getting broker and broker. And just like, come on now, we're people. Everything don't have to be spelled out. You keep spending money after money after money after money after money. You're going to start getting shaken in your belief. But yes, she did it to the point where she didn't have none left. So that means that she really believed. She was desperate for that healing. I'll go, okay, you know, second time's charm, third time's charm, 18th time, 20th time, 30th time's charm. She kept trying. So she didn't have no money to go to no doctors anymore. And then guess what? She heard about Jesus. Come on. She heard about him. Now imagine you in a position, you sick, you bleeding out. Now you're worse and you're broke. You're worse and you're broke. Because in where you are, your world, to get healing from a sickness in your body, you got to go to a doctor. You got to go to the best doctors. You got to go to the specialist. Now you don't even have the ability to do just that. She heard about Jesus and she believed it. This didn't cost her nothing. How much should her faith have been the opposite? Because she like, if the best doctors that money could buy can't do it, what? So she clearly believed it and she went where he was at. and said, if I could just touch him, I'll be healed. That's a lot of faith for a woman who'd been suffering for 12 years and had gotten progressively worse from the doctors and now was broke. But she believed that. Then she had faith. She acted on it. She didn't say, well, I believe if I touch him, then I will be healed and just stay at the house.
Mm-hmm.
She found him. She put her faith to work. She tested what she believed. I believe if I touch him, I will be healed. So let me go on and touch him. And guess what? She was healed. To the point where Jesus said, who touched me? And the disciples are like, are you crazy? Who's not touching you? That's why the disciples are like, what are you talking about? You and a whole crowd. Who touched you? Maybe 50 people touched you, Jesus. But no, this was different. Because it wasn't a touch as in a physical touch. She touched the heart of him. Because without faith, it's impossible to please him. You can't please him without faith. Something felt good in him. He felt the faith of her. He was pleased. So he's trying to figure out who touched me. Not physical. Somebody touched me. Because that's when somebody does something that's pleasing and feels good to you, you say, oh, man, I'm touched. Right? Somebody does something pleasing that warms your heart. We say that. That was touching. Oh, that I'm touched. So that's why the disciples hearing it one way. They're like, sir, who ain't touching you? But he was talking about being touched as a spirit.
Yes.
And he told her, she told him the whole truth. See, I like that it says the whole truth, because people be trying to tell partial truth. And what had happened, Jesus, I was in the crowd, and I may or may not have asked somebody, you know, it's a lot of people, I might have bumped into you. No, she told him the truth. I heard about it, I've been sick, I heard about you. I believe if I touched you, you're going to be here. So I went on to touch you. I went for what I knew, and I went on to touch you. She told the truth. And for all we know, that could have been offensive back then, the touch of a woman to be, especially, we know for that time period, it was taboo for sick people to even be touched. People want to touch sick people. So for her to know she was sick, bleeding out, and touching him, that could have been seen as disrespectful. But she did it anyway because she believed if I just touch his clothing. And so she told the whole truth, and he told her, faith has restored you to health. Go in peace and be healed from your suffering. Touch him tonight. What do you need healing? What do you need healing for? It could just be a situation you need to overcome. You're really letting that situation get the best of you. You come home, you kick the dog, you slam the door, close the blinds, eat Doritos, binge watch jump to try to make stuff better because you letting this situation overcome you. The price has been paid for you to overcome. I don't care what the situation is. It's already been paid for. You sitting there paying the price in your own humanity. You can't do it. Is your body sick? Is your mind? Is your mentality? Have you been hurt? What is it? This lady heard about him. Jesus fresh on the scene. We've been walking with him for how many years now? We've seen countless miracle after miracle in our life. He speaks to us. He even uses his prophets to prophesy over us things that the prophets don't know. He proves time after time after time after time that he's real, that his word don't lie. But if this woman had just heard, Jesus hadn't been walking around for year after year after year after year after year after year. He was still fresh on the scene. And she heard about him and she went and she believed him. How much more should we believe him when he's proven himself to us time after time again? Look back over your life. Look back over your walk. He ain't lied to you. Why would he lie about you being healed? Why would he do that? He can't do it. You got to make up your mind that this word is true. And you have to have faith for it. There ain't nothing you could do but faith. This woman didn't do nothing. She didn't pay no money. She just believed it and acted on it. That's it. Because faith without works is dead. You can't talk about faith for it and just sitting around and sitting on your hand. No work. Whatever it causes, whatever the work that's required for your faith, do just that. It's different for everybody. Do just that. And receive your healing. It's already been paid for. That woman had to, see, this is the, why do we have to know about this woman paying all this money? Why did we, why was that included in her story? We don't even know her name. But why was that detail put in there? Because Jesus is showing that it's free. Ooh, she didn't have to pay for it. She didn't have to pay for it. That's why he included that. She went to all these doctors and spent all this money. Because we could just know that she went to a whole bunch of doctors and they couldn't heal her. But it specifically puts in there that she paid for them doctors. Why? Because God wants us to know that it's already paid for. She didn't have to pay for the healing that she received from Jesus. Because he had already paid for it. And was going to pay for it, right? 12 years she had been suffering. And she spent all that she had. And listen, she said she had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but instead had became worse. She got no help. It's one thing if she got a little relief, like, you know, maybe on that random Tuesday, she's like, no, I feel good. Maybe these doctors, oh, no, here come Wednesday, don't feel good again. No, she wasn't helped at all. And, you know, it says, but instead, excuse me, had become worse. Because that's what the world would do. Quit going to the world for help. They can't help you. And they will make you worse. And I'm not talking about doctors. I love doctors. Excuse me, I'm talking about the world. Because I see it all the time. People believe if you go into the world, because you have all these people now that have platforms. Excuse me, for relationships, for child rearing, whatever the case may be. And these people that follow them are not all worldly people. You got believers following them, taking their advice, taking this stuff into consideration. Quit going to the world for advice, for direction, because all they're going to do is make you worse and not help you at all. At all. Because what they're going to do is they're going to infect you with their mentality. They're going to infect you with their ways. And the word of God is clear that the ways of the world are in direct opposition of the way of the word. They're going to infect you with them. Now you're walking dead. Oh, just like them. Got eternal life, but the walking dead here on the earth. So quit going to the world for advice. Quit going to the world for direction. Because it can't help you at all.
Amen. That was a good word. Yeah. The woman with the issue of blood was a great story. You hit a lot of great points. Thank God for their revelation of it. And it always blesses me to hear this story and be reminded of what we do. Because the issue with her was never her faith. She obviously, through what you saw in her actions, she was a woman of strong faith.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of us, we all have strong faith. So I want you to know that We all have strong faith. But when Jesus came, Jesus wanted us to focus our faith in him. In God. He says, have faith in God. See, it's not about your faith being weak. It's not about your faith being strong. It's all about what your faith is in, because we all have high levels of faith. You think about that. Your faith is not the issue. Why would God say without it, you can't please me?
Mm-hmm.
Because your faith is basically the one that drives your will, or your will is what drives your faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know what you believe in. And so tonight we need to shift our faith.
Yeah.
To shift our faith to God. Like Jesus told the woman with the issue of blood, he said, your faith is what made you whole, because he said, if I could just touch them, because at first he had faith in man.
Mm-hmm.
She had faith in the system, the process in which the world has put in place.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not it. The things that are in place out here, you know, they all have good things. Some of them have good things that can assist you, you know, in things. But our healing and our deliverance don't come from those things. We use those things. You know, and God will use those things to reveal, because it could be something you don't know nothing about yourself, and you need a doctor to reveal it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor revealing that to you would then, now you know what to go touch to him with. Because this woman obviously knew she had an issue, right? So, like, how does she even know the issue of blood? Like, what did she know? Whatever the case was, it had to have been identified. And when she identified it, she exhausted all her means, you know, with man, and just took it to Jesus. And so we use that process, and we go figure out these things. But at the end, we need to take it to Jesus. So I saw more of the process through that. Would you read in that again? God revealed that to me, you know, about knowing what you got and bring it to me. Because when you talked about the whole truth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the whole truth, what else did she say? I wonder. Did she talk about how she identified with the issue? Did she talk about, did she go into her spending her monies and go through the process of the last 12 years?
Right.
You know, because we don't know how long they sat and chopped it up,
right.
You know. But what it was, is the word is delivered. He said
the whole truth.
So whatever the whole truth was, that's what she shared.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Lord is saying we have to be honest with him.
Yes.
You know, we gotta be honest. We gotta talk about the things that was our fault. We gotta talk about the hand we played in it. How we made things worse. You know, how what we allow to get things to where they are as well. So we have to take our responsibility. And so you can't leave out yourself when you're telling the whole truth.
Ooh, okay.
You can't leave out yourself. You know, the courts, they tell the whole truth, but you already know you're getting that. You telling your truth. And talking about everybody else. You know everybody else's whole truth.
Mm-hmm.
Doggone it. You even if you're making it up, it's the truth to you.
Yep.
And you're in there just telling it. But when it comes out to yourself, how many of us really are open to letting, you know, being vulnerable?
Mm-hmm.
You know, open up, being honest. Because you worry about what somebody going to say about you.
Mm-hmm.
You worry about what somebody going to think about you.
that they're gonna judge you.
Right. You trying to portray something you know you can't never be. We always try to put on this perfect image. Now there's a difference. See, the thing is, there's a difference between moving and excellence. Excellence and perfection are different.
Right.
See, excellence is a mentality.
Mm.
It's a condition in the way that you think.
Mm-hmm.
In the way you operate, you move in excellence.
Yeah.
It's not that you're going to be mistake-free, anything, but your operation, your process and how you handle things, it's moved in excellence. But when you're trying to just, when you're perfect, I mean, that's, perfection is what it is. It's what you see. That's what it is. Ain't no mistakes. And so, as man, how can man even judge perfection? How do we even know what perfection looks like unless it's Christ? Jesus is the only example of perfection, the only perfect one. And so for us to gauge perfection amongst ourselves, to me, seems kind of weird to be searching for something you ain't going to even find, looking for something that ain't even there. The scripture's talking about he makes us perfect. And through him, we strive. Because that's the only way that perfection can exist is through Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he's leading a situation, that situation was the result is going to have that perfected result. Because he perfects situations. Like you move in excellence and his end result and what God wants is the perfected process of it. And that's how I see us seeing what perfection is here in the earth. But for us to gauge it with one another doesn't make any sense at all. But that's the confusion that the world tries to bring upon us, to create images, because he's all about imagery. Create these images of things that we will label as something and call it something it ain't even close to.
Mm-hmm.
Have us confused in line. But that's it. We finna pray over y'all. 1, 2, 3, 4. We got 5. I think we can get these 5 in 35 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to unmute and holler at y'all.
Come on,
no, that's fine. You don't think you got to break out the Rolodex.
All right. The first caller is 610-969. Who are we speaking with?
Shalom.
Oh, snappy. Shalom. Shalom. This is Lisa, y'all.
Hey, Lisa. How are you?
I'm good, y'all. How are y'all? How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
That's
I can't
good.
Believe I'm first in line, though. Wow.
You say first in line. First up on the menu. Let me tell you what's cooking, what today's special is. Today's special.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Let's pray right quick and we can talk. All right. My phone's tripping. I'm going to have to break out even see you have these electronic devices that don't even come up. He had those jams and interference and stuff, because like I had the whole script up and then it just disappeared. There it is. Well, we thank you, Felice, tonight, Father God. We thank you for joy. We thank you. I've just heard this song, Joyful Joy. We adore you. How did that song go? It was on Sister Act. This song. Yeah, but I heard this song and I saw the word joy. Jesus over. Jesus over you. Joy. Jesus over you. I got joy. I got Jesus over me, you know. Jesus over you. But you know how it is. Jesus over you. So I just saw that. Just having that like a reassurance. I see you going through like a reassuring phase where God is reassuring who he is, and like getting you not back to that place, but getting you back in a frame of thinking. You're not going back to a place where like a time that you thought, a focus that you once had, he's bringing, like that's where you need to be. Like, and that's the focus he wants to bring back. He wants you to bring back into the, and be enjoying it, because Jesus is over you. Jesus, the blood has covered you. You've been like submerged, dipped in the blood. You are protected, you're covered, you're favored, you're loved, you're equipped, and you've been chosen. You've been chosen. And I see like a lot of things that you have seen and witnessed, experienced, and that you have a lot of knowledge of. Like you've seen some of the effects of dealing with it. But God is showing you truly how to access your weapons and fight effectively and efficiently. Fight to get the results that by using this thing properly you get. Because you got people that have a gun fully loaded but using it as a hammer. Yeah, you got a weapon and you're in this fight, but you ain't using the weapon properly. Like you putting yourself in a position with a weapon that could eliminate the position that you put yourself in if you use it right. You know. So I see God like really bringing it back to your remembrance. And revealing and really showing you how like the weapons work. But he's going to show you how to really be an expert in using the weapons that he's provided you with. And you're going to have fun. Not like not loose fun, like ungoverned fun, but you're going to be like enjoying the process. God, he's giving you that joy you need. And that's what I got for you tonight. Lisa.
Amen. Lord, we thank you right now for Lisa, Father God. We thank you for returning to her first love. Like Karen said, it's not about you. It's kind of like any relationship that we have, there's phases of the relationship. I still remember when I was first saved and how I just believed everything. Like whatever I read in that word, I just believed it. And, you know, sometimes as life happens and things start to kind of cool in certain beliefs, not that you don't have them anymore. It's just that they start to cool. And I see you being like reignited in some of your beliefs. So it's not that the beliefs aren't there. It's just God's going to reignite them to where you're just on fire concerning those beliefs so that you can operate fully in them. Because, you know, any person that experiences things in life, life happens. Life can dull us. That's why we have to be sharpened by one another. And that's why we have to constantly renew our mind, constantly choose what we're going to, what we're going to serve each day. Choose you to stay who you serve, because experience, life, situations, all sorts of things are coming at us that start to change our mentalities. You know, not completely most of the time. We say like, oh yeah, I believe that, but it's not like where you're like, yeah, I believe that, and that's just what it is because Jesus is any other. And you're like, yeah, I know God's going to work it out. I don't know how, but you know, because disappointments come in. You know, every believer's been disappointed. I know Joseph had to be disappointed when he was in that prison for as long as he was in that prison. It's not that he ever stopped believing in God, but I'm sure there was some disappointment that came in where he's like, I know he's going to do it, but, you know, he might have been in fire first. Like, God going to get me out of this jail. And then by year five, he's like, he's going to do it. I don't know how, you know. Not that he stopped believing, but I'm sure it starts to cool. And it's like, I see, you know, I see God reigniting some beliefs in you that you're going to operate in that life has kind of brought a chill to where it's still there, but it's like, it's there, but it's not really warming nothing up, but it ain't cold. So I see them kind of like blowing on it. You know, like how when you create a fire in the woods and you blow on the embers and it can get it like reignited. Like I see God putting his breath on those embers, blowing those embers and so that it can reignite it. Reignite it. So Lord, we just thank you for reigniting the things in Lisa that needs to be on fire again and healing the things in her heart that life has caused some disappointment. And it's okay to be disappointed, but heal the disappointments, Father God, and we believe that all things will work out together for good for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. So we just thank you that even the disappointments will lead to good and things that will benefit her, that's for her benefit and for your glory. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, guys.
You're welcome.
That was good. That was a good, God is always good. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Yes. Like
absolutely.
Always, no, it's always on point.
Absolutely.
So I'm excited about that because I do need that. Everything, joy, reignite, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. So I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
Word,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got something you want us to hone
pray
in
for?
On? Mm-hmm.
Well, could you pray for Andre's son? He has a son that is like, just a lot of stuff is going on. The whole family, just a lot of stuff. It's generational too, so. But,
What's his name?
His name is Alexander. And he just turned 13. And he just needs his father, but his father's, you know, locked up. So, you know how that is.
Yeah.
So God can do what God does. But if you would pray for him, I'll appreciate it.
Absolutely.
His name is Alexander.
That's right. All right. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Alexander tonight, Father God. We thank you for the rounding up of people. I feel like people being rounded up to like cover, like surround him, like protect him, like being made to see things like not a prison, but a I see like something just being governed and disciplined, like being activated. But needing the like the right people like around them to like lock him in to get him hold. Because have you ever seen like a wild horse being tamed? That's kind of like how I saw him. You know, he has to be like broken or has his he has to understand what it means to be disciplined. Like he has to be broken, not like his will and drive for righteousness, but to be broken from thinking and being influenced by what's ungodly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Things that would drive him insane. Things that would drive him to hell. Those things he needs to be broken from.
Yeah.
But it's going to take people surrounding him that God has called that's going to introduce the discipline and not only introduce it, but apply it. Apply it because, you know, we're living in a world where we feel like, you know, all we need to do is talk. Everything is excused. You know, but the word tells us that what you sow, you're going to reap. And so why are we, as elders and those that are in leadership positions, excusing everything? You know, you can be forgiven, but you still got to pay. You can be forgiven all day. I forgive you, but that only, like, if you touch hot fire, you touch a flame and burn your skin, you will heal up. But that area ain't going to be the same. It's going to be a mark there. It's going to be some evidence showing you what happened on what you did. You know, and we live in a society where it's like we ain't supposed to follow through like discipline is a bad thing. And discipline is of God. And so we thank God for the people that's needed to be around him that have not adopted that mentality of the world to deny the word and to deny operating the word's process. Applying the words processes to things. And we just thank him for seeing it and yielding to obedience and yielding to authority.
Mm-hmm.
And being drawn to what's right. Being drawn to it. Having a desire for righteousness.
Yeah.
And that's what I got for Alexander in Jesus' name.
Yeah, it's like what I see with him, what the secular community would call tough love, right? And they say, you know, to kind of let a person suffer the consequences, don't pad things, don't make it easy for them. And that's what I see kind of what is needed for him, you know, where you see him about to fall and you're in arm's reach to kind of catch him so he don't scrape his knee. Let him scrape his knees. You know, he got to learn. He got to feel it. So sometimes with some children, you can't just tell them, let them burn their hand on that hot stove. Because now you're not going to do it again. Because now life is going to prove to you what I've been telling you. Because truth is what it is. If you don't believe the sun is going to rise, keep living. It's going to eventually rise. And if you don't think it's going to set, keep watching.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's going to eventually set. Like, some people need that, and I see he needs that. He needs that, you know, okay, if you think you know everything, go and test your theory. You know, there's a saying that I absolutely love. Stupid games win stupid prizes. Let them win the stupid prize. Because people get tired of that. And then when they get tired of it, then you say, okay, if you want to win for real, then heed my advice. Heed my wisdom. Heed my warnings. Because what you going to play the game for if you wasn't trying to win? But when you play the stupid game, you're going to get the stupid prize. And it's what is needed, because you got a leader in them, but some leaders get a little wayward because they think they know everything and think they know best. And they think just because they feel that leadership in them that they, you know, they know everything. But really, the key to a good leader is knowing how to follow. And let God work all that out in him. So, Lord, we thank you for working all that out. Come against any curses in the DNA. Let them dry up in Jesus' mighty name. And just let him learn how he needs to learn. Whatever's going to be effective, Father God. Just turn them over until you place them in your hands, which is the best place to be, in your hands, because you know what's truly best. You know what's going to be effective. You know what works. You know what every person needs. You see the heart of man. And so let all those around him know that he's protected and that you're working everything out. And I just speak, I speak leadership over him. I speak righteousness over him. And that he will be who you set out for him to be. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 All right,
amen.
Thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much, y'all.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Blessings.
Thank you. God bless you. Mm-hmm. All right, since we got more people had called in and put their hand up, I'm just going to unmute, get your name, pray for you, and move on to the next person. Next caller is 240-482. Who are we speaking to?
This is Valerie from North Carolina.
Hey, Valerie, how are you tonight?
Hello, I'm doing well.
Awesome. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you right now for Valerie, Father God. We thank you for her understanding the true gift of Jesus. Like right now, we're in the holiday season, we're in Christmas season, and everybody's concerned about gifts. I've been seeing a lot of people online being very concerned because they're not in a position to give the type of gifts they want to give. But really, this season is really about the gift of Christ. Even though he wasn't born on December 25th, you know, everybody has those debates. He was born in the spring. Who cares? We're celebrating the fact that he was born, not the actual date. But he was the gift of he was a gift to the world, because without Jesus, we wouldn't be in right standing with God. Without him, we still would go into the place of the dead. We still would go into Hades, which had a good part, paradise, and a bad part. We wouldn't be able to be with God. We wouldn't be able to go before him boldly, go to the throne. We wouldn't be righteous without him. We wouldn't be healed. We wouldn't have our sins forgiven in the way that they're forgiven, and the price and the penalty paid. Like, Jesus is the gift, and you're going to see, you're about to experience, Valerie, the gift. The true gift of Jesus, the true gift, not just our salvation, right? Because that's enough for us. But you're about to experience the true gift that he is. He's really going to, like, do a work, a miraculous work that you know that only he could do, where you're going to say, this is Jesus' hand is on this situation. Jesus' hand is in this. So, Lord, we thank you for revealing the true gift that you are to Valerie, Father God, and elevating her level of faith, Lord, and just touch every area of her life, Lord Jesus. Put your hand on every single area of her life and help her to just release every area. Like the lady with the issue of blood, she told the whole truth. Let her wholly give every single area to you and let you heal it. Every area. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. You got anything? All right. Let's keep going. Next caller, 682-738. Who are we speaking to?
This is LaShawn from Texas. How y'all doing?
Hey, LaShawn, how are you tonight?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great.
Amen. Well, let's pray for you.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for listening, Father God. We thank you for the perseverance, Father God. We thank you for you, like God has been sustaining you, like you've been sustained. And when you've been sustained, hold on, let me give you, it's a word in there. Yes, sustained, like an extended period of time. It's like, it seems like things have been going on for an extended period of time, but what God has been doing, he's been sustaining you, doing that process, and teaching you how to be sustained, and how to like kick in with learning how to endure, because is another phrase word being used in sustaining. It's like being carried out with long periods of time without interruption. Without interruption. And so it seems like when you're going through all type of hell or like things that we just unwarranted type of situations, things we don't just wake up asking God for, mm-hmm. you know, he sustains you. And because it seems like those things would be going on and going on and going on, but really he's teaching us how to endure and getting us in the frame of mind so that regardless of what's going on in our lives, that we won't be interrupted. Mm. He's sustaining you in your belief in his word, sustaining you in him. Without interruption. See, Satan wants to come in and interrupt what me and the Father got going on. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want us to be sustained by grace. He doesn't want us to be sustained in mercy. He doesn't want us to be sustained in our faith in God. He don't want us to be sustained in our knowledge. He don't want us to be sustained in our wisdom, in our understanding, in our obedience, in our actions that line up to what we believe. Because what we believe, we act on it. It goes back to the message. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she believed it, so she acted on it. That's what she believed. So it just makes sense to do what you believe. When you ride around, if you go, just ride around in traffic. Look at how people drive. Look at how people trust them brakes. They trust their steering wheel. They got their faith in a lot. Mm-hmm. You can go to a restaurant. Look how we have our faith out there. Who we got our faith in? You better have your faith in God when you go in these restaurants. You don't know what them folk be doing to your food. You don't even know where it comes from. Heck, you don't even know that it is what they say it is. But yeah, we want number three with a Sprite with extra ice, please. And get mad if they get something wrong on that oil. Because we got faith in the system and faith in their words and saying it's fast. You see how people get shot over French fries. They say this is supposed to be fast food. It's coming fast, but it ain't coming hot. You ain't living up. There's something going wrong. We have all these demands based on what we got faith for. So when we have faith in the word of God, when we know the word of God, hallelujah, can't have faith in something you don't know about. So many people just walking around the earth lost. No direction. Their compass is malfunctioning. You ever seen a broken compass? That's just the hand just moving all over, don't know what no direction is. And that's how it is. When people's spirits are broken, they ain't connected to Jesus, so their compass is thrown off. But people's faith ain't the problem. It's what they got the faith in.
Mm-hmm.
That is. Having faith in God is what's going to sustain you. And you need to have faith in him without any interruptions. Nothing's going to waver you and your faith in God. Your faith is not the issue at all, man. So the Lord already tell you, he said, if you have faith, the size has a mustard seed. He's like, your faith is powerful. He's like, it don't take much faith, but it's all about what you put your faith toward. And it'll happen because you act on it. You act on it. So I hear the Lord saying that it's really time for you to act on some things that's outside of, you know, societal norm. Like the Lord is like got it out on the line for you. Like really like believe that thing. Really like believe, fill out that paperwork. So what? What you believe in? I know it, because if you're thinking you're afraid of a no, it ain't the belief. That sounds like fear. Because when you're afraid that you're going to hear something you don't want to hear, you already saying that that's what I'm having faith for, in this fear of what I don't want to hear. Instead of just doing what God is telling me to do. And we'll figure out that other stuff out later, because fear is false when it comes down to walking with the Lord. He didn't give us that spirit. And because we know the word, that's how we're able to know where it comes from. So when we know where it's coming from, we recognize what it is, we know where it's coming from, so we deal with it. Like, no, I'm not going to be afraid. I rebuke this fear in Jesus' name. Why do I rebuke this fear? Because God didn't give me the spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me, because I'm above only. I'm above only, not beneath. I'm the head and not the tail. I am the righteousness of God. He says that he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in me. He told me that he came that I might have life and have life more abundantly. He told me, man, he said, look, I ain't even coming to the world to condemn it. He said, but that through me, I want the world to be saved. I know that if I would seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these things will be added. So, like, I have to know these things, and I have to believe these things to be true. Then put my faith in it. Watch the word work. Why would I put my faith in the word of God? Because, all right, again, he says that I'm a God that can't lie. My word don't go out and return unto me, boy. My word don't go and do something totally opposite of what I tell it to do. I always get results. This is the God that we serve. This is the God that we serve. So let's just put our faith in him. Like, really put your faith in him. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's what I got in Jesus' name.
Let's pray over area code and prefixes since kind of pressed for time. 919-292, Lord, we thank you for 919-292. We thank you for really understanding and walking in being the righteousness of God and what exactly that means. Because, you know, the Word of God says that we're righteous through Christ, right? Before then, we weren't good enough to be able to go boldly before the throne of God. But now, because we have Christ, we can go boldly because we are made righteous through him. And I see you really operating in that and understanding what that means to be the righteousness of God. And it has nothing to do with you personally, right? Because none of us are good enough on a personal level. But through Christ, we are made righteous. And so you can have a boldness and a boldness that it supersedes humanity, right? Because everybody sins, everybody messes up, everybody has flaws, things that they could improve on, but you're righteous through Christ. So be bold in the things of God and even in the things that you are believing for and the things that you expect. I see you really operating in that. So we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 305-200. We thank you for 305-200 for really grabbing hold of the message tonight of healing and really operating that and taking delivery of the healing that you've already provided for them in every area of their life. So we just thank you, Lord, for healing them physically, mentally, spiritually, financially, emotionally, psychologically, just healing them in every single area of their life and them having the faith to believe that and taking hold of that message. Just like the woman with the issue of blood took hold of the garment, that they just take hold of the message and have the faith to believe for wholeness and healing and being able to overcome any situation in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next is 504-282. We just thank you for 504-282 for really believing God for the impossible and for what looks impossible. Right, because if we take your word and break it down, impossible or I'm possible. With God, it is possible. So what you would see as impossible, put it on God. Now God says I'm possible. Mm-hmm. So the possibility is through Christ. The possibility is through God. There's nothing impossible for you that God has assigned to you. Right? It's not impossible for you if it's assigned to you. Where you're weak, he's made strong. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. So just put it on him. Put it on God. And stop thinking it's impossible and say, God, what are you saying? God says, I'm possible. So we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Next is 251-229. We thank you for 251-229 for the rising, for their name being risen. And just like how Jesus rose from the dead, I thank you, Father God, that their name is going to rise from areas and where it's been ill spoken of and dirt put on it, that you're going to restore their name from the dead. Ooh, from the dead, that their name is going to have life. So any type of like it's almost like I see somebody or people, maybe it's in a group, I'm not sure, have spoken bad about your name. And I see God restoring your name, rising it from the dead. It's like Christ rose from the dead. Anything can rise from the dead because when we have Christ, anything can do what he did in our lives. And I see your name being restored from the dead. So we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you for you making clearing their name and showing people that who nobody can be against your people and God before you, who can be against you. Sometimes it look like who's against us and the things that are against us is winning, but that's a false sense of perception. It's not really winning, because if the Word of God says if God before me, who could be against me, that's the truth. Not what you're seeing. What you're seeing is a pass through. It's developing into what is going to be what it is. And nobody can be against you when God is for you. So we thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. Call back at 8:45. Hit 1. That puts you in the queue. Wednesdays, Randy does a message, and then he prays over everybody who has their hand up. So make sure you call back. Listen to some of the previous shows. Randy's just really been on fire for the last few months. But it's just been kind of intensifying. So make sure you're listening to the shows if you're not able to tune in. And listen to all of the prayer minister shows, LaShawn's show and the Revelation series and Angela Joy when she's on, whoever's on Sundays. Saturday. Listen to all the shows. You know, just when you're having your time where you can listen to music, go back into Blog Talk archives and just listen to these shows. Pray for all of our prayer ministers. Pray for this ministry because God is really using us in these end times. But until next time, we love you all. Good night.
Good night.